from a good friend, Matt Lodi. Matt Lodi is in Cleveland, and Matt, of course, does an outstanding job for AP Radio in Cleveland, and he is also now also working with a new website, NEOSportsInsiders.com. Log on to NEOSportsInsiders.com, and you can check out more from Matt Lodi there. Matt, what's going on this afternoon, bud?
Hey, Bob. Busy day. How are you, my friend?
Oh, it sure is a busy day, and there's a lot of different ground to cover here, Matt, so we're just going to dive right into it. How surprised were you when you heard the news that Mark Shapiro, who was so instrumental, by the way, due to his relationship with Chris Antonetti and their combined relationship with Terry Francona, in bringing the two-time World Series manager to the Indians?
Well, you know, 24 years is a long time to stay at a job, and that's how long Mark Shapiro has been with the Indians organization. And, you know, from what we heard from Mark today, the talks with the Toronto Blue Jays started sometime, I believe he said, at the late to end of July. So, you know, it took about a month. And, you know, what I like about it from the standpoint of the Indians is, you know, everything is kind of already in place, I guess, if you will, to continue moving forward with you know, Chernoff and of course Chris Antonetti already in place there. So it should be a rather seamless transition. What is interesting about it, though, from, as you said, you know, how supportive it was, you know, it's a good opportunity for Mark. It's a bigger city. It's a higher payroll. It's a new challenge. Toronto certainly is a team that's not afraid, as we've seen in free agency, to go out and make some bold moves. So if I'm Mark Shapiro, maybe he sees the writing on the wall. You know, he's not going to be in this game forever. And, you know, let's just be frank about it. The Indians, you know, despite being picked by some to win the World Series, are not going to this year unless the miracle of this last couple week thing keeps happening. But at the same time, there is a lot of promise and a lot of a talent up in Toronto. So to him, he probably thought, look, I gave it everything I had in Cleveland. I'm going to continue to embrace this town until I leave. And then once I do, I'm going to do what I can to win in Toronto. It's an interesting move. I'm not stunned, because when I first heard about it, I said to myself, if I was Mark Shapiro, I would probably do the same thing, just based on payroll, based on the current talent on the roster, and just based on, again, let's be honest, how the owners go about doing their business in Toronto right now.
Yeah, we're talking to Matt Lodi, getting a little reaction to the very, very shocking move that the Indians are parting ways, well, that Mark Shapiro is parting ways with the Indians. He has not been fired, unlike the Dave Dombrowski situation with Mike Ilitch and the Detroit Tigers. Mark Shapiro is leaving of his own accord to take the same job or a similar job with the Toronto Blue Jays. Chris Antonetti, like you said, is in place, and Mark Shapiro made a point of answering at the press conference today whether or not his departure will impact the long-term future of Terry Francona in Cleveland, given the fact that Francona is always going to be a desirable manager in a lot of different places. And he chose Cleveland, according to Terry himself, because of his relationship with Shapiro and Antonetti. So does Shapiro's departure necessarily mean that Francona is no longer quite as tied to Cleveland? Mark Shapiro tried to answer that today and said, hey, he's close with Chris, too.
Yeah, and you know, I thought of that right away when I heard the news that there was even a glimmer of hope from Shapiro himself that he would be leaving. And you know, let's just throw it out there, Bob. And we talked about this around the trade deadline. I mean, Terry Francona's in his third season with this organization. You know, he certainly has a lasting legacy with what he's done, not only with the other teams that he coached before Boston, but Boston alone. He's, you know, basically a Hall of Fame manager just from that tenure there. So, I mean, how many more years does Francona have with this organization, even unless, of course, they go on, again, an incredible run of string of championships or whatever? Probably two, maybe three. And you know, and I don't think that that's going to, I think today's news is going to impact him. I don't think it's going to impact him to the point of saying, I'm going to walk away in 2016. I think he's going to be here next year. He does have an opt-out clause, if you will, and you know, Paul Dolan said today that he doesn't expect Terry to you know, to exercise that, and I don't really think he will either. I think he still enjoys the game too much. You can see the passion and the fire in his eyes when he talks to us on a daily basis about coaching players and you know, having young players grow and all of those, you know, good attributes that a manager, I think, needs. You know, he has not tired at all of being a baseball manager. He just enjoys it too much. Now, as far as him, as you said, being a desirable manager and going elsewhere, you know, Terry has basically said from day one that he's never wanted to go. He would never have gone anywhere else but Cleveland. And I believe that. And I believe it does come down to relationships because, as you said, he could have gone to a place like Detroit, who was looking for a manager at the time when he was a free agent. But instead, He decided to come to Cleveland. I expect him to be here maybe another two, at most 3 years. You know, at that point, I think he retires and he goes back to a broadcasting position. But I don't expect, despite, you know, it looking maybe on the outside looking in like, oh, my gosh, he's going to take the opt-out clause and run. I think he'll stay here. I think he's going to try to finish the job. And I do think he's still going to do whatever he can to try to bring this team, you know, closer to a championship.
Matt Lodi joining us on Sports Radio 106.5. The Ticket, we are talking about the shocking announcement over the weekend that Mark Shapiro, the longtime Indians GM and then club president, is leaving to join the Blue Jays. All right, I know the idea now is to look to the future, but let's look to the past. How will the tenure of Mark Shapiro as a front office executive in whichever title that he held, first assistant general manager for many years, then the GM, then the club president overseeing everything, including GM Chris Antonetti, you know, a lot of close, but not quite there. No World
right.
Series championships. How would you evaluate the Shapiro era in terms of overall Cleveland Indians baseball?
Well, I think his tenure as a general manager has been challenging from the standpoint of, you know, they were coming off that incredible high of the John Hart era with guys like Lofton and Bell and Baerga and, you know, Jim Thome, who was still there for a little while, of course, when Mark took over. But overall, I think it's been challenging from a payroll standpoint. You know, the team did not have the large payrolls it had when, when Dick Jacobs was the team owner. And I think from a standpoint of, you know, just winning, obviously, you know, you had some sporadic shining moments here and there. The 2001 season comes to mind. And of course, as Mark pointed out today in his press conference, I think the one moment that, you know, he still kind of regrets or wakes up thinking about every once in a while is that 2007 season, when oddly enough, a Terry Francona Boston Red Sox team down 3-1, won three straight from the Indians to go to the World Series. And they ended up sweeping the Colorado Rockies. And many people felt if the Indians were in that position, they would have won the World Series. But as he said today, you can't go back and change the past. You can't live in regret. You can't live in the past. So, you know, from his standpoint, he's still here another month. His team is playing good baseball. He's going to try to make the most of it. I think, though, you know, obviously in reflection of Mark Shapiro and what he's been as a general manager is, I think stability has been key. I know this team has had a number of managers, but at the same time, I think the front office staff has been basically, as we keep saying, in place. But it's been a rocky road at times, certainly. I mean, you've had, you know, instances where this team was expected to perform at a high level and they didn't do it. On the other hand, I think he's going to leave on a high note because I think, you know, even though it doesn't appear that this team is headed for any sort of long postseason run, I think that their young talent is what everybody's going to lean on. And certainly the last 12 home games where they've gotten 10 plus hits and are averaging 8 runs, I think people are going to look at that and go, there are some good things coming up here in the future. And Shapiro does leave this organization in good hands. And I think Antonetti and Chernoff and Dolan, those three in some sports, you know, shape or form, are going to hopefully lead this team into bigger, brighter pastures next season.
We were talking with Matt Lodi, joining us from Cleveland about the shocking news of Mark Shapiro leaving the club, former now club president and headed to be the club president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. Matt is with the Associated Press Radio in Cleveland and also NEOSportsInsiders.com. Check him out there at NEOSportsInsiders.com. To what do you attribute this sudden Indian surge here in late summer as we the calendar gets set to flip to September? You know, not that it's likely that they're going to make up 5 games, especially given the number of teams that are in between them and a wild card spot, but the fact that they're in this conversation and not sitting where the Tigers are right now, which is what, 8.5, 9, I don't know what crazy number back, is just bizarre. The offense has suddenly just kicked in. Francisco Lindor is making a push for, I don't know, possibly rookie of the year, even though he's only been here a half a year or so. I mean, to what do you attribute all this?
Well, I mean, part of it I do think is that the pressure is off. I mean, let's just be perfectly honest. You know, this team hasn't been competitive and you know, basically since day one. I mean, unfortunately, you know, they got behind the eight ball so quickly in the 2015 season and they never just were able to make it up. On the other hand, you know, I hate to say that, you know, moving Bourne, moving Swisher, guys like Zepchinski, Brandon Moss, you know, moving all those guys was the key, but it certainly has opened the door, if you will, for it to be a much looser and a much younger locker room in that guys are now not walking on eggshells. They're being able to be themselves more, you know, and Francisco Lindor is a perfect example. And of course you pointed him out about, you know, possibly making a run at rookie of the year. You know, first couple weeks as a rookie, And Terry Francona, you know, kind of, you know, gave a comparison of when Dustin Pedroia came up to the Red Sox years ago. You know, you come up, you're quiet, you're respectful, you're trying not to make waves. It's like when you're a kid and you go to a new school. You know, you just want to try to fit in. Well, now that he's fit in, it's kind of like he's able to be more himself. He's a happy guy. He's you know, he likes to joke around, not in a mean way, certainly, but he's still respectful of his teammates. But on the other hand, he's becoming more of a, you know, his you can hear him more. Let's just put it that way. And it's a good thing because now he's more comfortable and he's playing more comfortable. And, you know, his presence has just added a lot. You know, another guy who, you know, I'm going to talk about because of what he did yesterday, but just in general, this young guy they got from the Seattle Mariners, Abraham Almonte, has been a pleasant surprise. And this kid, it was the interesting quote the other day from Francona. He runs to first base on every play, whether it's a ground out, a fly out, a pop out, or a single, or whatever it is. Like, his pants are on fire. His energy is very contagious. He shows a lot of energy. You know, it's not that, oh, well, I'm just going to run to first, and, you know, if I get there, I get there. Even yesterday, Carlos Santana, who's obviously been a struggling most of the season, you know, hits those two fly balls that the Angels lose in the Sun, and on both balls, you know, it would have been real easy for Carlos to be standing on first base. Instead, on one of them, he's on third, and on the other one, he's on second. So it just shows that there's just more camaraderie, there's just more energy, and I can't really put a one reason as to why, Bob, but if I had a number one reason, per se, of a couple, it would be the infusion of the young talent and those guys making their mark and not just sitting back and, you know, struggling like rookies do usually. They're playing good baseball, and it's showing almost on a daily basis. I'm interested to see in the next three nights how they do in Toronto because, of course, Toronto's played so well. They just, you know, kind of whitewashed the Tigers over the weekend. And we'll see if getting away from Progressive Field into a different environment, you know, how that is for the Indians because, as I said earlier, there's eight runs a game in their last 12 at home. I think they're averaging 11 or 12 hits. They've got 12 games in a row with 10-plus hits. They're just playing good baseball at home. Let's see if that translates now to the road, where really they played pretty well this season.
Yeah, no question about it. We're talking with Matt Lodi about American League Baseball and actually talking about playoffs. You know, I read a headline. I didn't really read the whole piece, but by our mutual friend Zach Meisel, who joins us on this show from time to time,
sure.
Who said the Indians are not even going to start peeking at the wild card standings yet. They're still, I did,
right.
And you are. but they're
yeah,
not going to do that, and probably, you know, justifiably so. One of the things I think you're right, Matt, when you talk about that was one of the reasons for this sudden surge of theirs, is they are playing footloose and fancy free. They're not playing like they're playing for something. They're not playing with the onus of we got to stay keep pace with so and so because we're in the thick of this thing. And sometimes when you start thinking about being in the thick of it, then you start to grip the bat a little bit tighter. Then you start to squeeze the ball a little bit harder before you pitch, and it throws things off. So they're doing a good job of kind of keeping everything in perspective. But while they're keeping it in perspective, guys like you and me and Cushlin over here, what are we doing? We're sitting here going, you know, there's still a month of baseball left, and it's only five.
Right.
I mean, what could happen?
Right, sure.
You know, of course, when you got starters being scratched, you know, Carrasco, Salazar, these guys being scratched because of arm soreness and stuff, you know, that certainly brings you back to reality.
Yeah, there's no question. It's going to be tough. And somebody told me the other day, we were just chatting across Fox, and it's an interesting stat. I don't know necessarily where he got this from, but he said, basically, the way you look at it is you can make up one game in a course of a week. In other words, you know, if you're five back, it takes you roughly 5 weeks to make that up if things go your way, per se. And I don't know if that, you know, hey, we've seen it where teams will make up three games in a week. You know, I don't necessarily know if I buy that, but
it depends on how many teams you have to try to pass, too.
Exactly.
You know, like, for example,
yeah,
the Nationals went ice cold in the National League East, sure. And the Mets got red hot, and, you know, they turned a deficit into a – same thing with Toronto. When they traded for Troy Tulowitzki
right,
and David
right.
Price, they were down, what, eight games? Six, seven games, Jim just
something
said.
Like
thank
that.
You.
Yeah.
Seven games to the Yankees,
quick,
and
yeah.
Then bing, bang, boom, Yankees go into a slump. the Blue Jays catch fire, and there you are. But that's with one team in front of you. What the Indians are looking at right
sure.
now, you know, is several teams in the race for that wild card spot.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it, Bob, I mean, all that the Indians can do at this point is just keep playing. There's really no, I mean, you know, like you said, we can sit there on a daily basis as part of our job and just as fans in general and say, hey, how many games are they back? Who do they got to do? Who do they got to pass and all that? But at the end of the day, they really just need to keep playing good baseball and just see where the chips fall where they may. Josh Tomlin was asked about it yesterday. He said, you know, they're not looking. Cody Allen mentioned it the other day. basically saying that they feel like they're in the race. And you know what? Again, for all intents and purposes, they are in the race. And they're playing like a team in the race, which I think is almost as important as being in the race. You know, they're not playing like a team that's like win one, lose one, win two, lose two. I mean, and that may happen at some point in September.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of said, you know, maybe a month ago, I said, look, it still wouldn't surprise me if this team, because of Francona, his influence, and what this pitching staff has done, it still wouldn't surprise me if this team with 2 weeks left to go is in the same position they were last year, where they're maybe 3.5-4 games out. Then maybe if they lose 3 or 4 in a row, that's the time to kind of say, okay, that we did our best, but that's it. That's kind of how I think this thing is going to play out. But you know what? Never say never. You know, we've seen magical things happen in baseball in September before, and there's no question that the Indians, the way that they're playing right now is very contagious among that team because, again, the energy, the way Brantley, Kipnis, and Lindor are hitting at the top of the lineup, the way that, you know, again, that pitching staff has been for most of the year. Strange things happen. You know that. And the other thing to look at, Bob, is that the Indians have 18 home games in September, and then I think they play the first 4 days or 3 days into October against Boston. So that's a lot of home games. I mean, if they're playing as well as they are at home and they can sort of carry that over a little bit to September, you go, man, they're legitimately could be an interesting shot here if they keep playing the way they are. So, you know, hey, we'll see again. Now, on the other hand, they lose the next three in Toronto, and then you're right back to the drawing board, and they're probably going to say, well, that was a fun run while it lasted. So it really is fun, though, at least to see that this team is being competitive. You know, they're not, they certainly aren't giving up per se, and the young guys are contributing, which no matter how this thing ends up, you'll go into the offseason saying, hey, look at what we got with Lindor, Urshela, Almonte, you know, some of those young guys, Bauer, Salazar, of course, in the pitching staff and that others.
Matt Lodi joining us talking baseball, meaningful Indians baseball, and a real meaningful move here at the end of August as Mark Shapiro ending 24 years on the job with the Cleveland Indians, going to take over the same job. Actually, president stays the same, but adding the title of CEO. I wonder if that comes with a bump if you have two titles on your business card as opposed to one.
Right.
Both of them mean the same thing. You're running the show. You're running the show, but if you are a president and CEO and not just president, there's got to be another salary in there, right?
No, I would imagine that it's a bump in pay, or else why would, you know, like, let's just be honest. I mean, why would he take the job unless there was a bump in pay?
No, yeah,
No, I'm sorry, Bob. I was just going to say one thing just to remember, though, is that this is not effective till the end of the season. So, you know, as Mark said today, hey, somebody asked him, are you going to be torn the next 3 nights, you know, watching your team play the team that you're going to be working for? He said, absolutely not, until I put on a Blue Jays uniform, which I don't know why he would, but I guess he means like in relative terms.
Sure.
He goes, until I put on a Blue Jays uniform, I'm going to be invested in the Cleveland Indians. So, you know, hey, it's good to see that this is in a weird way, it almost reminds you of when Eric Wedge got let go a couple of years ago, and he finished out the season, even though that was in a totally different situation in terms of how they were playing at the time. This, on the other hand, is a good situation. And as I said before, you know, Mark Shapiro, you know, whether you love him, whether you don't like him, whatever, he's a class guy. He's always been very good to us in the media, and I think we're going to miss him. I think he's, you know, I think his stamp on this baseball team, again, if you want to look at the future, has been made with the guys that they have on this team right now, because a lot of them that I think are going to continue to be on this team are already up here at the major league level.
You know what's really weird, Matt, as we wrap this up, and what you just said is taken well received. I'm almost of the Bo Schembechler mindset here. When Bo Schembechler, as the AD at Michigan, was told by Bill Frieder that Bill Frieder was leaving to take the Arizona job in 1989, you remember this, I'm sure. And
he said,
I'll continue to coach the team through the tournament. And Bo Schembechler said, no, you won't. You're going to Arizona. Go to Arizona. A Michigan man will coach the Michigan team. So he handed the keys to Steve Fisher at the start of the tournament, and they won 6 straight games, won the national championship. So I don't know why, but part of me wants to take the Schembechler approach here and say, you know what, Mark, it's nice that you want to stay through the season, but you are now employed by, in your heart, the team that you just agreed with, the Toronto Blue Jays. Go ahead. I'm sure their office is ready for you there. You know, you can have your stuff shipped out of here, but we're gonna let Cleveland guys run the Cleveland team for the next month. Is that outrageous? Is that unreasonable?
Yeah, no, I see where you're going. I see where you're going, but again, there's other variables involved here because A, it's not necessarily a coach, and the other variable again is how would Terry Francona perceive that? You know what I mean?
That's true.
Something you kind of have to think about. If he just said today, hey, Mark, thanks, but we'll see ya. there might be a situation there where Terry goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, this is the guy that I came here for or to be with, per se, and now you're not showing him the due diligence. You're just making him – you're just showing him the door. I don't know.
Well,
I don't
he's
know
showing
the
himself
motivation.
The door, though. I mean, let's be
real.
Right. He's the
no,
one who's
right.
choosing to leave. And if they're just saying, right. hey, look, man, we love you. We love what you did for us here. But if you've made the decision to leave, well, then let's just get it done.
Yeah, go ahead. I see where you're going. Yeah, but as I said, I think it's a little different than a coaching situation just because of the relationships there. And the yeah. fact that, you know, again, that Paul Dolan was nothing but positive today about Mark Shapiro, and Mark Shapiro, of course, back to Dolan and the organization. So, you know, as Paul said rather earlier today, this is all going to be done on good terms, no hard feelings, no compensation, which I think is, they could have got something, but I understand it. And, you know, they're letting Mark go without any, you know, quote unquote ill will. And I guess they feel in the best interest of the organization, let's try to, you know, finish what we started here for 2015 and see what happens. And then, hey, and then whenever the last game may be, Mark will then get his, pack up his things and be on his way. And as I said before, the Terry Francona factor, though, is one I think everybody's got to consider here based on their relationship and how it might look, per se, if they say to Mark, you want to go now. We're not going to allow you to be here the rest of the year.
Right.
That's something to think about.
No, you're right. You make a very good point with Francona there. And you know what? Before he leaves, one thing we can say to him is thank you for whatever his role was for something specific, whatever his role was with Antonetti in dumping Bourne and Swisher salaries on the Braves.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank God he did that before he left town. So we'll leave it at that. Matt Lodi joining us from Cleveland. Matt is an AP radio reporter for the Associated Press in Cleveland, but also you check out his new webpage that he's working with as well. It's neosportsinsiders.com, neosportsinsiders.com. Matt, always a pleasure. We'll catch up again soon.
All the best, Bob. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it, buddy. Thanks very much. All right, there you go. That's Matt Lodi joining us right here on Sports Radio 106.5 The Ticket.